You're listening to the Gulam Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussain Kamani. Gulam is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit gulaminstitute.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafaa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidil rusuli wa khatimil anbiya, wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. This is verse number 9 of Surah Hijr. The translation is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed we were the ones who revealed this remembrance, and we are the ones who take responsibility of its protection. This remembrance, this dhikr, is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the names of the Quran. There are many different names that are referred to by the Quran, and one of them is dhikr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we are the ones who revealed the Quran and we are the ones who take responsibility of preserving it. Underneath the tafsir of this verse, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was a great Andalusi scholar, he narrates a story from the time of Khalifa Ma'mun. Khalifa Ma'mun is one of the great Khalifas of the past. And every year he would have this gathering in which he would invite the great scholars. And they would sit together and they would have discussions. On one occasion, when all the great scholars were invited, Khalifa Ma'mun, while he was looking through the people that were attending, he realized that there was a Jewish man sitting there. So he called this Jewish man, he asked him, Israeli, are you a Jewish man? He said, yes. So he said to him, Aslim, accept Islam. So that Jewish man said, no, I'm not going to accept Islam. The gathering ended there, this man, he left the gathering. The following year, Khalifa Ma'mun once again held this grand gathering of scholars, and he saw that same person attending the gathering again. But this time, this person was dressed as a Muslim. And he was dressed in the clothing of a Muslim. And he was debating and engaging in very intricate discussions with the other scholars. He was discussing some fiqh issues and so on. So Khalifa Ma'mun was shocked and he called him. He said, weren't you the person I met yesterday, meaning last year? He said, yes, I'm the same person. So he said, last year I invited you to Islam, you refused, and today you've come as this great Muslim scholar. What caused the change? So he said, well, last year when I came, you invited me to Islam, I rejected. Then I thought to myself, what is all this Islam actually about? What's all this craze and hype about Islam? So I got introduced to a Muslim friend. The Muslim friend told me that the core book that Muslims follow is the Quran. So he said, the best way for me to test whether Islam is a true religion or not is for me to test the Quran. So what this Jewish man did was, he was a calligrapher. He took the Bible, he took the Injil, he then took the Torah, and then after that, he took the Quran, the three holy books. And he wrote each of them in his beautiful handwriting, in his calligraphy. He beautified it with beautiful ink and the cover and so on. After decorating the books and finishing writing them, he then took them to the market and he sold the Injil. And the person who saw the Injil picked it up and was so amazed by it, he took it home. He then took the Torah out and a person picked it up and saw it was so beautiful, he took it home. He then pulled the Quran out and a person came to buy the Quran, a Muslim came to buy the Quran, he picked it up. He opened the first page and realized there was a mistake there. He put the book down and walked away. So he was like, oh my God, how did this guy know? So a little while later, he stood there and another man came. He picked up the Quran. He flicked through a few pages and said, this isn't the Quran, brother. You should change the name of this. Whatever this is not the Quran. This is a change book. And he gave it back to that person. And a third man came and did this again. And after three people recognized the mistakes within the Quran just by having a quick look over it, this Jewish man said that if the average person knows that their book is unaltered and unchanged, then what right do I have not to believe in this revelation? And he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. The narrator of the story, that his name was Yahya bin Aktham, he says that after seeing this incident, I then went for Hajj. And when I went for Hajj, I met this great scholar by the name of Sufyan bin Uyayna. And I told him of the full story, that this is what happened. You know, this Jewish man came and right until the end. So Sufyan bin Uyayna said, this is nothing special. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us of this in the Quran. Allah says regarding the previous books that were revealed, بِمَسْتُحْفِظُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, that they were given the responsibilities to preserve the book. But when it came to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself took the responsibility by saying, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. No matter how hard a human being tries, you can never match the preservation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the oath until today. There is no person that can claim the Quran ever had any changes in it. Because the Quran we read today is the exact same Quran that can be found in the books of history for over a millennium. The very same Quran that you find in the narrations from the Sahaba. And when I went to Turkey, when I went to the Topkapi Palace, there they actually have the original handwritten manuscript from Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And when I was walking through there, when I saw it, I laid my eyes on it and I realized that subhanAllah, I started reading it. It's hard to read because there's no dots on there. They wouldn't write with dots. It's hard to read. But while you're reading it, whatever page they have on display, it amazes you that 1430 years ago, they were reading the exact same Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. Now someone may say, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi in his tafsir, he says that a person could object. He can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the oath to preserve the Quran. If Allah took the oath to preserve the Quran, then why did the Sahaba need to write down the Quran? You guys understand that? Very good objection. Very good. Makes sense. Now, the whole idea behind writing the Quran down, what does that mean? The Quran was written down by companions during the revelation. The companions, they mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell us, the revelation would come to him, he would call certain Sahaba who were skilled in writing. For example, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, and then there was Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. There are many companions. He would call them and he would read to them the revelation and they would write it down. And after writing it down, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would then say to them, repeat it to me. And then they would read out. And if there was any mistake, the Prophet would immediately correct it. So there were companions who were writing revelation down. Uthman radiallahu anhu was a noted companion who was a scribe of revelation. You know, when Uthman radiallahu anhu was killed, the day he was killed, he was under house arrest. And the rebels, they couldn't approach his house because outside his house, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma with Abdullah bin Umar were standing there guarding the house. So what they did was they went to the furthest house in the row, in the house, in the line, and they jumped over it, and then they jumped the joint walls until finally they got access to his house. And Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu knew that was the last day of his life. It was the last day, he knew it. Because he had been fasting for many days, and that particular day, he had been sleeping, and in his sleep, he had seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that Uthman, today we will do iftar together. So Uthman radiallahu anhu woke up, he performed his wudu, he took his Quran and he started reading. And while he was sitting there reading, these rebels, they came inside his house. And one of them, he came and he cut off the arm of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And when he cut it off, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu said, how dare you cut the arm that used to write down revelation? That was the same hand I used to use to write down revelation. There were many companions. The story of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam because he went to his sister's house and there were some papers lying there with the Quran on them. You guys remember that story? Right? And then he tried to touch them and his sister Fatima said, La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. You have to go to your wudu first, then you can touch it. So, but however, what happened was that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, there was a very great battle that took place against Musaylimah al-Kadhab. He was a false prophet. And the Sahaba who fought in that battle, many of them who were martyred were memorizers, were those who had memorized the Quran. So the Sahaba, they sat together and said, many of our key assets, those who had memorized the Quran were martyred, I think it's time that we sit down together and compile the Quran in a written format. So Imam Razi said, someone may object that if Allah has taken an oath to preserve the Quran, then why did the Sahaba need to write it down? So the answer to that, Imam Razi himself says, Allah inspired the Sahaba to write it down as a means of preservation. Because in order for anything to be preserved at its absolute authenticity, you have to have track of it being written down and memorized throughout history, parallel, without any gap at all. There has to be proof that it was written down and it was by memory at any one given time throughout 1400 years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He preserved the Quran like this. Today in our community, we have young kids, young kids who have memorized the Quran. You know, there's a story, the historians, they mention, when the Tatar attacked Baghdad, when the Mongols attacked Baghdad and when they destroyed Baghdad, they literally annihilated the Muslims in Baghdad. They hated the Muslims so much that they took the Khalifa, they wrapped him up inside his rugs, and they ordered their horses to trample him until he was killed inside his own rug. And then after that, they made an instruction that the rivers of Baghdad should no longer be any other color than black from the ink of their books or red from the blood of the Muslims. And the historians, they mentioned there was once a time where a horseman would come on his horse, a knight would come on his horse, right till the edge of the land, there would be a little river there, and on the other side was other land. In order for him to reach there, he would have to go all the way around. But after the Mongols were done with the Muslims, you would come to that same point again, and either there was a bridge of bodies or a bridge of books there. There was no longer a need to go around anymore. In a single day, they mentioned they had killed over 20,000 people. So in this great you know, corruption and all this difficulty that was that Muslim Ummah was facing, the leader of the Tatar, he had ordered that we have killed the Muslims, now let's destroy their books. So he ordered his men to go through the houses and gather the copies of the Quran and bring them in front of them and set them afire. And the copies of the Quran were gathered and they set them afire. And then the Tatar, the leader, the general, he made an announcement that today we have destroyed not only the Muslims, but also the book of the Muslims. There was a mother, she was standing in the gathering. Next to her was her 7-year-old kid. She said to her son, go forward and prove him wrong. And this young man came forward and he said to the man that you burnt the books, but did you forget to realize that Muslims haven't only preserved the Quran in the books, we have actually preserved it in our hearts. And according to one narration, that young man stood there and recited the Quran from beginning to end in front of him. And that king was shocked because he realized that the Muslims have gone beyond any other nation in preserving the Quran. Memorizing the Quran, reading the Quran is a virtuous thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us for every letter we read, 10 rewards. Alif lam mim isn't 10 rewards. Walakin alifun harfun, walamun harfun, wa mimun harfun. Just saying alif lam mim, something that we don't even understand what it means. No one can ever claim they know what alif lam mim means, right? I was once teaching Quran, and I was explaining to my kids in England. I was teaching the kids in England, so I said to my class, my students, that no one in the world knows what alif lam mim means. So one kid, he raised his hand, he said, Sheikh, I know what it means. So I said, okay, what does it mean? He said, alif lam mim, Allah loves maimans. So I said to him, change maimans to Muslims. It sounds a lot better, a little bit more universal, okay? No one knows what alif lam mim means. But at the end of the day, we are still rewarded 30 deeds for reading that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us in a hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those that have memorized the Quran are the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, those that have memorized the Quran, they will come in front of Allah and they will bring their parents crowns that will be more shining than the sun and the moon, and they will place it on the parents' head. The scholars say, the one who has memorized the Quran is a child, why are his parents being rewarded? The reason is because anyone that has memorized the Quran knows that half of the journey you owe it to your parents. Because a sacrifice they go through, the early mornings, the days, the nights, the du'as, sometimes there's sorrow, sometimes there's depression, will my son do it, will he not do it? And there's such a journey, it's an emotional trip. While all the other kids are excelling in their academics, you're wondering whether my kid's ever going to excel because it's taking him 3 years to memorize the Quran. Allah will never leave behind those who memorize the Quran, by the way. Never be fooled by that. That's a lie from Shaytan. Allah will never leave them behind. They will excel. There's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that those who memorize the Quran are the friends of Allah. And whoever takes animosity with the friends of Allah takes animosity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever takes animosity with the friends of Allah takes animosity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the day of judgment, the one that has memorized the Quran will be brought forward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to that person, choose from your family and friends 10 people who have been destined the fire of hell and take them to Jannah with you. So every person in this gathering should have a dream and should aspire to at least have one hafiz in our family. Say inshallah.
Inshallah.
It's never too late. You just have to put your head to it and try. Be sincere, be devoted. Every family should have this intention. That inshallah we will have one hafiz of the Quran, inshallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the ability to build your masjid, the first thing you should do, just as the brothers in the Dawah Center said right now, they were just making the announcements and they said that we've now established our Quran memorization program. When the Brookfield community builds their masjid, one of the first things you need to do is establish your hifz program. Whether it's part-time, whether it's full-time for the brothers and sisters, but the community should be involved in memorizing the Quran. It is a very beautiful act and something that was dearly beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray that Allah azza wa jalla gives us all the tawfiq to act upon this. Sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum.